that I thought there would be half a crowd here for early service and doubled up in second service. Thank you for being here and Merry Christmas. Because you came early, I'm going to give you a little special treat. I'm going to tell a story that I probably won't tell at the second service, and you'll probably know why when I finish. Our oldest daughter and her husband are here, as are all of our children, grandchildren, except the ones in Katy, and they're in Europe right now. But something has happened in the life of our oldest daughter and her family. They went to, at Thanksgiving, she and her husband wanted to take their children to a soup kitchen to work so that they would be experienced, have experienced that. And they did. And they came back, they enjoyed it, and came back the next day and to do the same thing. And there was a lady who was there who came up to our daughter, Jana, and she said, Jana, and she also was working in the soup kitchen. She said, Jana, I've been watching your family, and I need to talk to you about something. And so she called. They went off to the side, and she said, I have a granddaughter that is in a penitentiary, and she's not going to get out for many, many years, and she shouldn't. And she said, but the problem that, that's brought a problem up, and she has a four-year-old son, and the little boy is mixed race, and there's nobody in my family that will take him because of that except me. And I'm living in a retirement village, and they're not allowed, we're not allowed to have children here. And so I have a real problem, and I've watched you and your family, and I'm asking you if you can help me find a family to adopt this child. And the very difficult thing, difficult time. So Jana called us, and we've been talking about it and working through some things, and some things are working and some things are not, and so forth. So there was a family at that time that, that was considering taking him in Tennessee, and but they wouldn't take him until everything was legal. And interestingly, our daughter and her husband, Stephen, and they'll all be here at second service, and that's the reason that I will probably tell this story at that point, because this young boy is going to be with them. And they asked the grandmother if they could bring him with them for Christmas. And she just cried and said, Jana said, you know, I don't want you to be left alone for Christmas. And she began to cry and she said, you don't know how much it would mean to me for him to be with the regular family and to know that he has Christmas with a regular family. And because I can't provide that. You know, he's 4 years old and I'm 64 years old and I can't get out and play ball with him and I can't get out and do all the things that a four-year-old boy wants to do. And so he's with them today, has been here this weekend, and he's gotten his way into all of our hearts. His name is Maddox, and Maddox has started calling our daughter Jana Mommy. And she said, Maddox, I'm not your mom. He said, I know, but can I call you that while I'm at your house? And then last night, amidst opening some of the presents and so forth, and, he came up to one of our other daughters and crawled up in her lap, and he said, can you love somebody too much? So the Lord sent us a pretty special Christmas gift, and we don't know what's going to happen with Maddox, but we're going to work to try to find him a Christian home. And so I just thought you might like and appreciate that Christmas story. The Lord's working something out. We don't know what it is yet. But it's a special thing, and it brought a special treat to our home. And I thought you might like to hear that story. And then as the continuing saga of Maddox goes on, I'll share with you in the future what the Lord works out. see him and you call his name, he'll want to know how you know his name. He's done that with us. So anyway, just enjoy that with us, because it's a sweet thing to see that the Lord gives opportunities and does things in people's lives that hopefully this young boy will have a chance in this life that he wouldn't have otherwise have. Now, that's in lieu of what I was going to introduce my lesson with, so I'm going to cut a little straighter to my lesson because of that and tell you that I'm not sure that I've ever preached a traditional Christmas sermon on the birth of Christ in my 40-plus years of preaching, because, quite honestly, I've kind of moved the other direction from that. So I'm breaking tradition, at least for me, with this sermon. And one reason is that a couple of months ago, when I was my daily Bible reading was taking me into the New Testament, and I was reading that familiar story about the angels appearing to the shepherds announcing Jesus' birth, and I listened a little bit more carefully to what they had to say. And I realized that as many times as I had read that story, there were a number of things that I had never stopped to think very much about. And you have just had it read in your hearing, or at least the kind of the heart of it. And so let me ask you the question, how many angels appeared to the shepherds? Was it one, was it three, or was it many? And what did the, by the way, if you said one, you were right. If you said many, you were right. Because there was one who appeared originally and had a conversation, and then many appeared. What was it that one angel said to the shepherds? And that was read in your hearing just a few moments ago. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And that's what the single angel delivered to the shepherds. And then when the great number of angels, or great host, great heavenly host, I think the King James Version says, appeared with the angel, they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and goodwill among men," some versions say, or the New International will say, "peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests." And we'll save that last part for another lesson, because I think it's worthwhile to consider that. But what I want to consider for this morning is the first part of what they had to say, peace on earth. And if they were speaking in Latin, they would have said, "In excelsis Deo," wouldn't they? Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. In men, goodwill. Now that intrigues me, particularly this part about peace on earth. And as I read that and I think about, okay, here's an announcement from heaven about peace is coming to earth with this child, to be real honest with you, that gives me a little trouble. I don't see lots of peace in the world today. I don't see lots of peace anywhere that I look. But I do see lots of strife. And as history continues, you have things like Kim Jong-il, who died this last week. And I ask you a question. You think now that North Korea is going to be at peace with South Korea or anybody else? Now that we've pulled our troops out of Iraq, you think things are going to settle down in that part of the world and we're not going to have any more strife? And we could go on and on and on and talk about, in our own country, the jails and the penitentiaries are overflowing, so much so that at times they just have to lop off about the top 10% of people and just say, okay, you're free, without going through any kind of a judge or court or anything. Don't raise your hands, but how many families are braced for and dread or have experienced certain family members' interaction or lack thereof during this Christmas season? How many marriages are barely managing to survive because of selfishness and anger and hostility and conflict? Now, this doesn't sound like a Christmas message, does it? But actually it is. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and if, as the angels proclaimed, he came to bring peace on earth, then where's the peace? I mean, it's a beautiful message, and I love to sing about it and hear about it and talk about it, but are we to really take it seriously? There's an old Christmas song that voices this very sentiment. How many of you have ever heard the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day"? It's an old song. It was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in 1864. It's not a song that I grew up with. The first stanza says, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And the fourth stanza reads, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Where's the peace? Has Jesus failed in his mission to bring peace on earth? And as I contemplate possible answers to this dilemma, I think, what is the source of strife in this world? Where does it all come from? Where does it originate? Why do we not have peace? And the Bible's answer to this question is, in a word, sin. Because of sin. It was the sin of disobedience that destroyed the peace and serenity of the garden, wasn't it? Following sin's grand entrance, there was immediately strife in the world, wasn't there? And the peace and the trust and the harmony between God and man and between husband and wife immediately turned into guilt and fear and anger and jealousy and selfishness and harshness and hostility and accusations, and all of those things instantly came rushing into the world in the place of peace. A poor swap, wasn't it? And soon after that, it even developed into jealousy and hatred, which led to murder. And that's been the headlines ever since. Jeremiah, talking about the nation's leaders of his time, said, "They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace." In Jeremiah 6:14. And it's still true today that what the world offers as solutions to the tensions and the strife among nations and in homes cannot work. It has never worked and it never will work. And the best that you can hope for is a truce that will just agree to quit shooting one another and quit hitting one another. But that's not peace. Because this world does not have the solution to the cause, sin. The world's solution can only treat symptoms. And that's what it's all about in this world. And when you treat symptoms, they come back. You're only kicking the can down the road. And they come back, and they come back with a vengeance because the root of the problem is still alive inside of you and inside of me. When you find the cure for sin, you will have found the path to peace. When your sin problem is cured, you will find peace. And you say, and rightly so, if that's true, then why do so many Christians not have peace? And I would would suggest to you that many Christians have allowed Jesus to take care of our past sin problem, but we've not yet submitted and completely surrendered to His Lordship. We're all about avoiding consequences. Jesus didn't just die to keep you out of hell. He died to make you righteous. And there is a difference. He didn't just die to deliver you from sin's consequences. He died to deliver you from sin. And lots of folks don't want to be delivered from sin. We still like it some. We like the way it tastes and feels. And so we actually, in our heart of hearts, want to hang on to some of it. But we don't want the consequences. So here we are again. Let's deal with the consequences. Let's take a pill. Let's look for some fast solution to this so I won't have to suffer the pain. And maybe we've accepted Him as Savior, but not Lord. And once again, we're back to what the angels told the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. They probably said, Messiah Adonai. He is Christ, the Lord. Jesus asked the most religious people of His day, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I say? Oscar Wilde said he once told a woman that there was enough suffering in one narrow London lane to show that God did not love man. And I would suggest to you that either Oscar Wilde was correct and God does not love man because of all of this suffering and pain, or either it proves that man does not love God enough to submit to His Lordship and His leading. Those angels were not wrong. Jesus did bring peace on the earth to those who become His followers, to those who learn and are willing to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And that translates to loving God with your emotions and your desires and your reasonings and your actions, with your whole being. And there are many, many verses which come to mind as to illustrate what that peace feels like. And I've chosen this one. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:11-13. And that sounds like peace to me. Peace with God. Peace with myself. Peace with my spouse. Peace with my family. Peace with my children. Peace with others in the world. And that's only available through Christ Jesus. When you come to have peace with God, then all the rest of these are possible. Oh yeah, one more thing. You remember that song that I asked you about, I heard the bells on Christmas Day? The first stanza said, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, on a peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, there's a final verse. And it says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Jesus was born, almost certainly not on December the 25th, but He was born as as a man. He offers the only solution to your sin problem. Every other possibility is a dead end that will never, ever yield peace. He is the only avenue for peace. And if you've not allowed Him to become your Savior, please do that today. I know that you didn't come with that probably in mind, but what better gift could you give your family and your friends than to become a Christian and surrender your life to Him? And if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you're willing to repent of your sins, and the word repent simply means to change your mind, to think differently than you've been thinking in your life, and now you want to think Christianly, as it were, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and be baptized, then He says, I will, in that process, I will kill the root of your sin problem. I will kill sin, crucified with Christ. And I will bury sin, and you will rise to walk in a new life. And then, if you've not truly allowed Him to become your Lord, you want Him as your Savior, and you've been claiming Him as your Savior, but not as your Lord. He won't be one without the other. And as your Lord, He has sent the Holy Spirit to live in us as Christians. And He says, do not quench God's Holy Spirit that lives in you. Follow His leading. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the light. And as we read our Bibles and we search out what God wants us to hear, the message that He has for us of how to live today, and we follow that leading, then the results will be peace. Peace that the world cannot understand, that is only available through Christ Jesus, but it's available to you today while we stand and sing. Won't you come?
Hold me in the